Blog Talk Radio.
Let's get it on!
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. You're listening to the Sports Warriors right here on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts for this evening. My name is Tristan Ducrosse, and on my side, as always, is my partner in crime,
Sean Ducrosse. So, the aftershock sends waves through the MMA world and social media.
Yes, because that aftershock comes in one name. His name is Conor McGregor.
UFC 196 gets a facelift after RDA can't compete and everyone steps up. But one man gets the call.
See, as we were sitting here today, we were talking about the Conor McGregor situation between Nate Diaz. Because Nate Diaz is the guy that ultimately got the call. He will face Conor McGregor at UFC 196. But where the turn, or where this gets interesting, is because the sole purpose behind this was that every single person came out of the woodwork and wanted to challenge the man known as Conor McGregor.
When you have this big mouth persona that leaves that bad taste in your mouth, and that's going to draw people out of the woodwork. That's going to want people to come up and go toe-to-toe and want to punch you in the face, because that's just the reality of the situation. Conor McGregor is one of the smartest, just strategic fighters I've ever seen in my era. Because when you look at it and you say, well, Tristan, this is what you get with this fighter. You know, you hate him. But at the end of the day, when you look across the bout and you see how do you self-fight, you can't help but like the guy. You can't help but say, you know what? This guy knows exactly what he's doing to self-fight. He's doing just that. So when you've got that type of persona, yes, everybody's going to want to come out. I don't agree with what Dana White had to say in calling Jose Aldo fat. I don't agree with him saying that Frankie Edgar was hurt. If he's hurt, then why is Frankie Edgar taking to social media and saying, well, you know what? Hey, I'm the one that stepped up to fight. The C in UFC stands for Conor. Well, when you have that, it tends to be an interesting situation. Is he, in fact, really hurt? Or is the UFC simply protecting Conor McGregor right now?
See, that's what I keep trying to wrap my mind around this whole entire time, is Conor McGregor's issue. Regardless of whether to see Conor or not in the UFC, that's debatable. What's the thing that is most intriguing about this matchup is that Nate Diaz is one of those guys that has been very outspoken, very vocal about, I want Conor. But, like I've been posting on my Facebook, and follow me on at Tristan Ducrosse on Facebook, was that he had a three-phase plan. Phase one was to capture the title away from Jose Aldo. Second phase, take that title off of RDA. Third phase, go after Robbie Lawler and take the title off of Robbie Lawler. Now, when you put all those aspects in, he can't take the title off of RDA, so he moves up to 170 and invites people to come after him. Nate Diaz obliges, took it to social media on how bad he wanted to fight, he got it. The interesting point about this is that phase three is in full effect. If he gets by Nate Diaz, he gets Robbie Lawler. Can you believe that?
It's one of those things that, can I believe it? Absolutely, I can believe it. Because of the fact that, you know, he's been so outspoken about he doesn't have a weight class. So what happens when you don't have a weight class? You have no rules. You have no regulation. So why not go after what everybody wants? Gold. That's what drives people. To be the best in the world. To take a line from CM Punk. You want to be the best in the world. So you got to beat the best in the world. We've always talked about that you can't be afraid to fight in MMA. Quite frankly, he's not afraid. He doesn't care who you are. We saw that in his press conference, Tristan. when he looked across at Nate Diaz and said that, you know, you say you're a thug from Stockton, but yet on the off chance you are riding your bike with the elderly, then you're training jujitsu with kids, but yet you're saying you're this one person that clearly you're not. You're throwing up gun signs 1 minute, and you're blowing up balloons with your left hand the next minute. He's got a very valid point. You and I were talking about this off air, is that this guy comes up with quick one-liners that I've never seen. It's as if he stalks his opponent and is able to get underneath the skin and the underlying issues of what makes him a fighter. When you look at Conor McGregor, do you know anything about Conor McGregor?
He's from Ireland.
That's it. You know nothing about Conor McGregor. But you do know stuff about Nate Diaz. Nate Diaz, he's a triathlete. That's what he does.
But it's funny because you talk about, oh, he throws up gang signs with his right hand and balloon animals with his left hand. You, like we were talking about earlier, Sean, you cannot have an identity crisis. You can't.
But you can.
In this world, your identity is everything. So by sheer will and determination, Conor McGregor has done exactly that. He knew what he was, who he was, what is coming up. But when you're watching this press conference, Josh, what's the one thing that stuck out? Because he brought up this steroid allegation. Nate said that Conor McGregor's on steroids. But wait just a minute. Conor brings up, well, I haven't been caught for steroids. I don't take steroids. I'm just an animal. But yet, when he's quick to point the finger right back at Nate Diaz about the Scat Pack, about them being popped for steroids, and he said one thing to him, and to me, it sent shockwaves through the whole entire thing. Because it says so much about Nate Diaz or Nate Diaz, period. And that was, Sean, he said, wait, your boys were the ones that took steroids? Didn't you know?
And that's the thing, is that when you look at him, and you say, all his comeback was F you. That's what he said right back to him was, F you. Really? That's what we're going with. That's the comeback you're going with is F you. Now, you can't be that person. You've got to be the guy that is going to be this, you know, this is the type of person I am. You got to be that guy that says, you know what? I've got a better comeback for the steroid allegations to my camp. You got to have a better comeback to that. If Conor McGregor could sit there and throw jab after jab after jab after jab, come back with something. When you're this guy that is so one way, that has this notion of, shoot, he's a Diaz brother? You got to pick it up, dude.
See, Sean, they had to try to figure out how to salvage this fight card. Because without Conor McGregor on this card, it was done. Absolutely done. This card was finished. What were you going to do? Promote the Holly Holm and Misha Tate fight as the main event to save the card? That wouldn't even save. So for Nate Diaz to come out of the woodwork and say, you know what? Yes, I'll take this fight. It says a lot about the character and the state of where UFC actually truly is. Because Nate Diaz does not want, or nor does he even care about right now, any other fight but a big payday fight. Like he said, he's been around this game for a long time, Sean. He's done this all.
Unfortunately, when you're looking at this fight card and you're wondering about what's going on and what's going to happen, I've got my money on Nate Diaz knocking off Conor McGregor kind of the same way that we've had Holly Holm knock off Ronda Rousey. So when you look at that and you say, well, Ronda Rousey got knocked off by Holly Holm, maybe it's time for Nate Diaz to come up and do his best impersonation of Holly Holm. Because when you look at it, Nate Diaz has everything going for him, and he's got nothing to lose. The most dangerous people in this world are the people that have nothing left to lose. So when you look at it, he's got nothing left to lose. He's got everything to gain, though. Is that if he comes in and beats Conor McGregor, Conor McGregor goes back to the bottom of the line, and Nate Diaz jumps up with a potential opportunity at getting a shot at Robbie Lawler. Now, he may have to jump through more hoops. Maybe if he beats Conor McGregor, he fights the winner of Wonderboy Thompson and the Red King and what's his name? McDonald. So maybe that's something that UFC has stuff lined up, and it only makes sense going forward that this maybe plays out that way.
Good and bad for the sport. I don't think he should face a Stephen Wonderboy Thompson or a Red King and Rory McDonald. I just don't see either one of those matches making any type of sense. Because what I see is that what should have happened before the RDA fight was give him one fight before a world title shot. So I like the aspect that, okay, he gets Nate Diaz at 170. That phase three is now in full effect because he'll have one fight underneath his belt before he jumps through the hoops and goes after Robbie Lawler. I thought they should have done the exact same thing before they just fed him to RDA. Or RDA being fed to Conor McGregor. Either way, you want to cut it. Something at some point is going to have to give. Everybody's going to want to knock his head off. It's just like, remember, John? Remember when we were talking about the Floyd Mayweather? The Floyd Mayweather fight? We were saying that at some point, we have to see somebody take his head off. Nobody could. So why is this any different? People are going to start watching UFC, watching the Conor McGregor fight, just like they were glued to the TVs watching the Ronda Rousey fight, waiting for that next person to come along with the possibility of knocking the head off the king. That's where we sit at with the Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz. But also on the show, what we have for the fans that are listening is we have three guests that are on our show today. We have Harvey Kaff. He's from Epic Fighting. February 26th is going down at the Four Point Sheraton. And we have tickets to give away for this event. So be sure to listen. And I mean, listen is we have Angel, if you hear the in this segment, Angel Ramirez. Angel Ramirez gets you a ticket. You hit us up on Facebook, Sean and Trista Ducross, or hit us up on Twitter at the Ducross Bros, and you win your ticket. That's for Sean's saying. Mine is Harvey announces that on short notice, two fighters. One woman, one guy from the same camp is fighting on this card. Name that camp, and you get tickets to Epic 30. Scott Kent of Lion Fight Promotions joins us. But up next, joining your boy, Sean and Tristan across the Sports Warriors, we are joined with Roberto from Fight Book MMA. So stay tuned for more with the Ducross Brothers, the Sports Warriors.
Excelsior, Imperis Rex, live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, So what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the DuCross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DuCross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
All right, everybody, we are back here. This is the DuCross Brothers, the Sports Warriors. We are now joined by Roberto of Fight Book MMA, where we are going to talk about the Conor McGregor situation, so much more.
Roberto from Fightbook MMA, you're on with the DuCross Brothers Sports Warriors with Sean and Tristy DuCross. Big topic right now around the social media and stuff like that, my friend, is the Conor McGregor versus Nate Diaz. I don't know if you saw the video, but I'm going to talk about the video first, is that Dana White said that Jose Aldo was fat. Frankie Edgar said, nah, I'm good. And basically, Donald Cerrone was the only other one that was potentially yes to the fight, but then they went with Nate Diaz. What do you think about the move up again in the what I'm classifies as phase three of Conor McGregor's plan to take on Robbie Lawler?
I like it. I mean, Nate did call him out on his last fight, so... You know, it just makes sense. For me, it makes sense to, you know, to give the fight to McGregor. So his plan is working. McGregor, he's doing something right.
But how much more can you threaten to go up in weight or threaten other fighters before somebody just is going to haul off and deck him in the face?
I don't know, man.
And I think that's what we're going to get here. Whether anybody wants to hide or whatever it may be, I believe this is the biggest mistake in Conor McGregor's career. Bold statement from me, Sean. I'll give you that. But I'm going to go out on a limb and say this is the worst mistake he could have probably made in his career for the simple fact that Nate Diaz, believe it or not, is very similar in style to Conor McGregor. He doesn't go in aggressive. He stays back and he counter shots. That's what Conor McGregor does. So are we going to see more of a back and forth tussle, or are we going to see patience?
That's a good question. I don't know, man, because, I mean, just like you said, Nate, he just likes to come in and he's a good boxer. And that's what he's probably going to end up doing, is coming in and just try to box Conor. But knowing how Conor is, I mean, I don't know. They're both great strikers. They're both great shit talkers. So you're probably going to hear a lot of shit talking in the cage. So I don't know. I really don't. I see it as a good back and forth fight.
Is this going to get more ratings than what RDA versus McGregor would have gotten?
Hell yeah.
I don't think he'll beat Bellator.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of people that love the Diaz brothers. We hate them or like them, people want to see them fight. So now that he's coming in to fight Conor, which is the same thing, there's going to be a lot of people that hate or like Conor, but they still want to see him fight. So, you know, everybody's going to want to tune in and watch this fight go down. I know I am.
Right? I think everybody is. Roberto from Fightbook MMA on here with the Sports Warrior, Sean and Tristan DuCross. Everybody's going to tune in for this fight, I mean, because it's loaded from the top to bottom. I mean, you had Holly Holm versus Misha Tate, even though I think Jackson Wink, the camp is calling for Holly Holm to headline instead of Nate Diaz versus Conor McGregor. You being from that area, do you go ahead and back that statement as well?
Of course. As soon as RDA said that he was not able to fight, they should have bumped Pauly versus Tate as the main event and pushed down Connor versus Nate as a co-main.
But I guess that goes to show...
That should have happened. That right there should have happened.
I think it just goes to show that... See, Dana White said some disparaging comments, I guess you could say, against Frankie Edgar, and then Frankie Edgar came out and said that the C in UFC stands for Connor. What Tristan says that Dana White said about Frankie Edgar, Frankie Edgar's coming right back and saying, basically, that's not true. I was down to fight.
Well, supposedly he was hurt.
If you're hurt, then why are you coming out and taking shots now?
Well, exactly. That's what I'm saying. If supposedly he was hurt, and if everybody in the media was saying that he was hurt, then why is he coming out and saying that he's ready to fight? If he's ready to fight, then he's ready to fight. They should have given that fight to Edgar instead of Nate.
Correct, and then I could have understand of keeping this title as a main event, because then you should have put Conor McGregor's title up against Frankie Edgar.
Exactly. Then they could have made that as the main event and kept the card as is.
See, Tristan here, see, I have an interesting take on this because it goes back to Conor McGregor. Y'all can talk about Conor McGregor being bad for the sport, good for the sport, but I do have to, I find an interesting comment that, once again, I mean, I can't figure this out. Is that he's supposed to fight another Brazilian and another Brazilian gets injured. If it's not a cracked rib, it's a broken foot. You can't time this. Is he putting people into the Brazilian's camp and saying, hey, go ahead. Break a bone from a Brazilian because they're brittle. You know, Conor McGregor said it best. Dude, over 200 Brazilians and they all pull out. How is there so many kids? Roberto doesn't even know where to go with that one. Or maybe he just simply has a voodoo doll underneath his bed and he just pulls out and says, okay, I'm facing this Brazilian today.
Just here
you go. I'm going to poke him in the body foot. Part.
I don't know, man. He can get into people's head. And he's really, really good at that. Man. Connor can manipulate the fight, or not the fight, but more or less your thought process of going into the fight to fight Connor. So they're probably just going so hard in camp that, you know, shit happens and, you know, they break a bone.
Connor's still healthy.
Oh, of course he is.
So let me see if I can get this straight, Roberto, Sean here. So Conor McGregor knows how to get into somebody's head so bad that he pushes their button so much that it irritates his opponents to the point that they go extremely harder in their camps and breaks a body part.
Yeah.
Especially the Brazilian.
Especially the Brazilian. Because he talks so much shit of the Brazilian fighters, their families, Brazil, and that what did he say that he's gonna be? He's a Brazilian, or what did he say at a press conference? I don't remember the exact words.
I think he said he's gonna be the king of Brazil, and he was gonna drag the head down the streets of Brazil for a parade.
Yes. So now all the Brazilians hate Conor. So whoever's gonna come up and fight him, they're probably like, you know, fuck this guy. I'm gonna go and train hard and. I'm going to pretend I'm beating up Connor, and boom, they hurt themselves. That's my take. I don't know. That's just me saying, you know.
So then the worst thing that Conor McGregor could have done is get a guy like a Nate Diaz. And that's going to be interesting, Roberto, because they're holding a open workouts, I think it is, in L.A.
today
with Nate Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
This thing's going to get real quick in T-minus 2 seconds.
Yeah, and then the press conference coming up here pretty soon.
So this is one guy you can't break. That's the thing that I think is going against Conor McGregor. He's broken his opponents mentally. You can't break a Diaz mentally. They just get more annoyed with you.
But the thing
Yes, they do.
Well, the thing with Nate Diaz, Tristan here, is that Nate Diaz, something that he has been longing for, and it even goes with Nick Diaz, is that they've been in this fight game for so long that, like, Nate Diaz a while back said that he's sick and tired of taking fights just to fight, or because the UFC says you have to fight this guy. He's been around the block so long, he's like, dude, just, I'm literally bored in the ring. Make me fight somebody that's worth my time. Well, do we get to see a new Nate Diaz coming around at UFC 196 against Conor McGregor? Because here's his, basically in my eyes, his one last hope of a big fight and a big payday to show the world what he's capable of.
So, Roberto, from Fightbook MMA, who do you have winning the fight?
I know everybody's going for Conor. For me, I'm rooting for Diaz. He's going to come in here and give that, what does he call it, the Stockton slap?
The Stockton slap, or you're going to get the American Ninja.
Or the American Ninja, yeah, there you go.
Please, well, please, Nate.
I'm going to pick Nate, you know, to win the fight.
I'm going Nate.
I know a lot of people are going to give me crap, but that's just me.
Don't worry about it, Roberto. Tristan here, dude, I'm on your side. I'm going Nate Diaz. I think that I want to see Nate Diaz win this just because this is last hurrah. If he loses to Conor McGregor, I think he's done in the UFC because there's nothing left for him to do. He doesn't want to take any other fight. He doesn't want to fight for less money. He's bored in the ring. I think that here's your spotlight, kid. Here's everything that you wanted. Let's see what you got.
And I bet anything he's going to try his hardest to take him on to, you know, to take Conor to the ground and use his jiu-jitsu.
Oh, you think it's going to go to the ground?
I have a feeling it will.
I think the only way this goes on the ground is if Nate Diaz gets on the octagon mat and starts humping it or laying down like he's Deadpool. I think that's the only way that he goes to the ground.
I don't know how long he'll be in the ground, but I didn't say who.
Well, I'll join you guys, and I'll say I have Nate Diaz because I already made that bold statement earlier about Nate Diaz, so I'll side with you too. I've got Nate Diaz, but because I'm feeling edgy today, I'm going to go bold statement again. Nate Diaz, second round knockout of Conor McGregor with the Stockton slap because he chose to go American Ninja and he just couldn't catch him.
I don't know about a KO. It'll either probably go by decision, or if it doesn't end up on the ground for some miracle, you can probably submit him.
Hey, if Holly Holm can catch Ronda Rousey upside the head with a head kick,
that is
then
true.
Nate Diaz can catch Conor McGregor upside the head with a Stockton slap.
Yep, he can. He can actually. You get him right on the temple. If you hit that temple really, really hard, and in the air, that equilibrium is gonna go crazy.
And who do you have in the Holly Holm and Misha Tate? I got my girl Cupcake.
Nah, Holly.
No, because he's from the area. Oh, he's got a natural.
I am back at my hometown of Albuquerque, New Mexico. My heart is here, no matter where I've lived. This is where my heart is, and I have to root for my New Mexican fighters.
So he's got Holly Holm, you've got Cupcake. I'm gonna go Holly Holm.
Holly Holm, third round by KO.
I don't think she's gonna KO Cupcake. I think it's gonna be a decision. I think we're gonna go back to seeing Holly Holm's style of I'm gonna point box.
She's got the reach advantage.
See? Point box, it fits.
Yeah, but look what happened with her against Ronda. She had the reach advantage, and look how dominating she was with that boxing. She's going to come back and do the same thing to Tate.
Absolutely, and I wish boxing was a big thing, Roberto, over on the other spectrum in Bellator, in Kimbo Slice versus Dada 5000.
That was the most freaking awesomest fight I have ever seen.
Right? It had you laughing on the edge of your seat for the first
I had the fight on my lap, on my tablet, watching the fight, and I totally forgot that I was even watching the fight. I got sidetracked, and my wife's like, aren't you going to watch this fight? I was like, oh, they're still fighting?
See, Tristan here with Roberto from Fightbook MMA. I was watching this fight with my brother, his wife, our dad. We're all watching the fight, and I swear, I kid you not, I was standing up in a crouched position, giggling and laughing the whole entire time. Like, are you serious? Like, Donna, you can knock this fool out. Like, if you would just land a punch, like, you would tee off on him, and he would get like Kimbo would get all dazed. I'm like, dude, you can go finish this. And then, nope, there's nothing left.
Oh, man. But those kicks that Dada was throwing, on point.
The technique was incredible.
The fact that a 2-year-old girl could probably have thrown a better kick.
Man, my chihuahua could do better.
Please tell me you don't really have a chihuahua.
I have 3.
I guess... Nope, Sean, not going there.
Hey, I'm Mexican. That's what I have. Chihuahuas.
Maybe Bellator should get Roberto Fightbook MMA's Chihuahuas inside the ring against Kimbo Slice. See if Kimbo Slice can beat up a Chihuahua.
Oh,
she who came out in the derm all over social media. The next is like Rampage versus Kimbo Slice. I wonder how much that actually has legs.
Oh, my God.
If Rampage gets in that circle against Kimbo Slice, there's going to be a gurney on the outside of the cage, and it won't be Dada 5000 being wheeled off on a stretcher. It will be Kimbo Slice.
Who would have thought that out of the co-main event and the main event, that the co-main event of Kimbo Slice and Dada 5000 they both ended up in the hospital. One ended up with congestive heart failure, allegedly. But yet Ken Shamrock and Royce Gracie come out healthy, and only Ken Shamrock gets a cup check, and he doesn't end up in the hospital? I was confused by that. The two guys below that are not in their 50s both end up in the hospital. The other two in their 50s don't.
Right? And they look fresh. Like, they were ready to go to throw down after the fight was stopped.
Well, when you look at Ken Shamrock and you look at Royce Gracie, dude, I swear, I thought this fight was going to end in a draw after the first round because neither one of them looked like they wanted to tangle with either one of them. And then it's like, oops, cup check, down goes Ken.
Man, I wish that fight would have kept on going. Because it looked like they were ready and they were going in there to fight, and you can see that, you know, I don't know how well their cardio was, but you know they wanted to go in there and beat the shit out of each other.
I think that when they came out to fight, was Ken Shamrock was really tentative. He was afraid of Gracie's jiu-jitsu even at his age, because he was hesitant on what he wanted to throw, when he wanted to throw, and then even when he got into that grapple, he was unsure of where to go at that moment. It just seemed like Kim played it pretty safe and then got caught, and whether it hurt him or not, I kind of side with everybody else that saw that fight. It's like, okay, was it a cup check? Yes. But was it as bad as they said it was? I don't think so.
No.
I think that was him doing his WWE days of, I'm in trouble. And he knew how to fake an injury, and he did it real well. Not to say that Ken Shamrock, a legend of the sport, would have done something like that, but, I mean, that goes back to years ago when he allegedly ducked Kimbo Slice. There was talk of him allegedly doing stuff to duck an opponent. Now he gets into a fight, and he does almost a similar thing. It's a very gray area that a lot of people, I think, are afraid to touch on, and that being that instance.
Yeah, I can see your point.
But see, the thing is with Ken Shamrock, though, the photo doesn't lie. He got hit in the nuts. Like, I mean, dude, that knee was buried.
He was not buried. Barely touched him.
Dude, do I need to send you the photo? I will send you the photo, and then I'll send it to Ken Shamrock, and I'll have him autograph it and send it right back to you.
Nah, that's okay.
All right, Roberto, Fightbook MMA, thank you for joining the Sports Warriors. It was a fun ride. Until next time, we'll catch you on down the road. So there you have it. Fightbook MMA joins the Sports Warriors to talk about the upcoming fight and talk about what's going on with everything that has happened. Get another take, get another side, and that's where we're at. Bellator 149 was one of those things that was an interesting situation because of the fact that you had Kimbo Slice, you had the likes of Dada 5000, because you had Ken Shamrock and Royce Gracie. The list just goes on. It's one of those things that we told everybody that he was a mad scientist. We told everybody Scott Coker was a genius. People doubted us. People said we were insane. You love it or you hate it. There's a place in this world for this style of MMA. And Scott Coker knows what he's doing. Good, bad, or indifferent. He knows how to play the game, and he knows what's the best. So when you look at it and you wonder what's next for Bellator, we're going to see more of these type of fights. That's just the way it is. So, Sean, now we have coming up next, we have Harvey Castiano from Epic Fighting. So people are going to have to dial in, tune into our show, because we're giving away tickets to Epic 30.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now.
Yes, we are. But they have two ways of winning tickets, which are, one, yours. All you have to do is listen to our interview with Harvey Cast and listen to when Angel Ramirez is mentioned, and hit us up on Facebook at that moment to get tickets. All you got to do, listen. And for me, it's name the girl, name the gym that the girl and the guy from the same camp on short notice took a fight.
And how many tickets do we have to give away?
We give away four.
Okay. So the first two people to answer, the first four people that answer either one of those two on our Facebook at Sean and Tristan Ducross, whichever one you want to hit up, doesn't matter. Hit us one of us up, or hit us up on Twitter, the Ducross Bros. Whoever the first four people are will win four free tickets, Epic Fighting 30, this Friday night at the Full Point Charity.
So Harvey Cass joining the Ducross Brothers Sports Warriors.
Excelsior,
right here.
In Paris Rex. Live long and prosper. Up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the Ducross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the Ducross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Sports Warriors right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're your host for this evening. I'm Tristan Cross. Along my side, as always, is my partner in crime, the one and only.
So we are back, and we are talking about Epic Fighting 30 going down this week at the Full Point Sheridan. And we had a special guest this evening with us to talk about the upcoming fight in Harvey Cast. And listen very closely, again, for Angel Ramirez.
And the woman
and the guy that took a short notice fight, name the camp.
All right, so welcome to the show, Harvey, from Epic Fighting. You're on with the Sports Warriors, Sean and Tristan Ducross. So
Epic, thanks for having me on, guys.
You're welcome. Epic Fighting 30 is just right around the corner. It's Friday the 26th at the Four Point Sheraton. This card, hands down, looks like it has potential to be one of the best out here in San Diego on paper. Last Epic Fighting 29, it wasn't up to snuff from all the Epic Fightings that we have. What's a fight that intrigues you on this card coming into Epic Fighting 30?
Well, the most intriguing to me is probably the Leon and Kim fight. You're very well familiar with the arena, guys, and I think that this matchup is, you know, it's just really, really good. It was originally supposed to be on the last card, but Christian Leon broke his toe before the match. Rahir Dude stepped in for him, and then Joshua Kim sliced his toe right before the match. So, you know, this was one that I've been waiting for since the last fight. Also, the Elijah Harris Carlos Sutton 205 title fight is something that I'm really looking forward to as well.
Harvey, Sean here. Why has it taken so long for Christian Leon to get another fight or to actually fight again? Because the last time we saw him fight was 6 months ago.
Because he fractured his toe.
Ah, that's right.
Yeah,
so it took him.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty, you know, it was a clean break. I mean, he posted it on Instagram right after it happened. And if you saw him at Epic 29, he was walking around with, you know, like a modified boot type of thing on his foot.
Tristan here, Harvey.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have something that has always intrigued the both of us. And it's simply the women fights, because a lot of the women fighters out here don't get the due diligence out here.
Yeah,
you have four girls that
right.
ultimately look like that they could put on one heck of a show. You got Madison Michelini versus
yeah.
Rebecca Ireland, Erica Oliveros versus Catherine Proudfoot, and
yeah.
you're looking at their technique and I did a lot of research on these four women, and you're looking at these girls as Muay Thai, boxing, and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu background. How did you come
right.
up to get these girls?
Well, Erica Ontiveros is under Russ Edwards and is Lacey Lotus' training partner. She wasn't quite ready for the last show, so Russ saved her for this one. Catherine Proudfoot, her opponent, was originally supposed to face Lacey Lotus, but the coach didn't like the height advantage that Lacey had over this. Both of these women are 5'6 and 5'7. They both walk around at about 170 pounds. So this one is very evenly matched. The Madison McElhaney and Rebecca Ireland fight, Rebecca is actually a last-second replacement. I add Tara White, who's a jiu-jitsu specialist. But she backed out because she has Olympic wrestling trials coming up and she can't risk a cut. So that's how the Madison McElhaney-Rebecca Ireland fight came about. I'm interested in seeing Madison fight very much because she's from Systems Training Center in Los Angeles. They have a lot of great fighters that come out of there. And Madison beat Lacey Lotus. So... it's like that. There's very few women fighters, so when you do see the ones that are around the same weight class, it seems like everybody has fought one person from their camp. You know what I mean?
Harvey, Sean here. You're talking about the Systems camp, and if I'm right, the Kim brothers are also from the Systems camp.
No. The Kim brothers are from ISV.
ISB,
International Self-Defense. That's in Poway, and Systems is from Los Angeles.
So then, are we going to start seeing a little bit more people from Systems?
Well, yeah. I get to know a lot of people from Los Angeles because of working with the U of MMA, and also to, you know, I get to meet a lot of people at fights. So, yes, I'm starting to get Systems fighters. Now, remember... Anita Hohenleiter was from Systems Training Center as well. Remember Lacey's last opponent.
Harvey from Epic Fighting On with the Sports Warriors, the Ducrosse Brothers. Sean here. You brought up U of MMA, and I was looking at the card, and you've got Josh Kim, who's fighting for the featherweight title against Christian Leon. He's 1-0. I was kind of wondering why he got that title shot when you look back, and you, myself, Tristan, we know what a beast this guy is. And I was surprised he's not getting a title shot at 1-0. And the biggest thing here is Angel Ramirez. We've been talking about this kid since the days of Archangel MMA. And he's fighting against one of your guys, I guess you could say, from U of MMA, and David Boyko.
Right.
That's one of the most intriguing fights.
Yeah, that is a very intriguing fight. It's not for a title, but they're both state-ranked. Right now on Camo, David Boyko is ranked 13th, and Angel Ramirez is ranked 15th. Angel Ramirez is one of those guys, and I love to match him because he says, it doesn't matter who it is, just have somebody in there and make sure that they'll be there. You know, all I have to do is tell him that he has a fight. You know, there are very few fighters that are like that. They don't care who the opponent is. And he just happens to be one of them. David Boyko is an amazing fighter. He's a very, very active fighter, not one of those lay and pray type guys. And you can look him up and see his matches on the U of MMA website, the YouTube channel. He's an exciting fighter, and I can't wait for this one to happen.
Yeah, and Boyko is training out of the camp of Boss Rutten. And anybody that seemingly trains out of Boss Rutten's camp in the L.A. area seemingly is some sort of a beast or an animal in one shape or form.
Right, yeah. And that was Ryan Lilly was the one who brought him to me because he said that David Boyko's, you know, sitting around collecting a little bit of rust. He needs to fight. Can you make it happen? And, of course, I said, yeah.
Harvey Cass from Epic Fighting here with the Ducrosse Brothers Sports Warriors. Tristan here, Harvey. Harvey, you have one other fight that's on here that we spoke about this briefly, but I have to bring it up on here, is that I'm looking at this card and I see Winston Morris from Gigglepuff versus Edgar Barbary, and my immediate reaction was, uh-oh, is this a Kimbo versus Dada 5000?
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing. These guys do train, so they're not going to go in there, you know, waking up from a nap off the couch and running in there and trying to smack each other. They do train. The only thing is that they're stand-up guys, so not much rolling, not much wrestling. Winston Morris's opponent didn't pass his blood, so I had to find somebody, and Edgar Barbary comes from the same camp as Rebecca Ireland. So both of those guys were last-minute replacements. I found a coach who gave me both of them, and it's going to be a banger. Don't expect to see a submission in this one, I don't think, or very many leg kicks. You know what I mean?
Or what about their gas tanks?
The gas tanks, well, you know what? It's not going to be a Mighty Mouse fight, I can tell you that much. I think you know, the way these guys always go and with the way the heavyweights are, it probably won't go decision. Something will happen within the first one or two rounds, in my opinion.
Harvey Cast here talking to Epic Fighting 30 going down Friday the 26th at 4 Point Sheridan here with the Sports Warriors and the Cross Brothers. We've talked about it so far a lot about what's on this fight card, but the biggest thing that I don't think either one of us has really brought up is the one that's kind of float underneath the radar now. Is the Joseph Williams versus Jules Baez, the fight that was supposed to happen that didn't happen.
Yes.
Jules Baez says that he pulled out due to an emergency. Do we even know what that emergency was? Or did he just simply not want to fight the beast in California in Joseph Williams?
Oh, no. He had a knee injury. He actually texted me the knee injury right when it happened. He told me he was going to the doctor. He went to the doctor. He was given a bad, examination or bad result from the examination, got a second opinion, and was told that he wasn't going to be able to fight, possibly needing surgery. He's out for, 9 months.
Ooh.
Yeah, it was a serious one. It was a serious one, and he was really disappointed. And I'm not questioning his integrity about it because he, like I said, he kept me through the process. He let me know when it happened, when he went to the doctors for his follow-ups, and then after that. So.
Yeah, because that Facebook beef between those two leading up into this fight, I mean, had a lot of people talking. And
I know,
and
I
was
know,
just wondering if it was real or if it wasn't real, that type of thing.
No. And you know what? It's funny because those Facebook posts actually caused a lot of buzz. And, you know, it's kind of like the buzz that, you know, you like before a fight because people are talking about it and makes it a lot more interesting. But, you know, maybe the fight will happen one day. In my opinion, by the time he comes back, Joseph Williams is going to probably go pro. So,
yeah, not much. I don't think Joseph Williams is going to be waiting to go pro because, like I said,
he's
an animal.
Yeah, he is. Well, then again, you know what? He's only like 19 years old, so there's no rush in him going pro. He can do whatever he wants at this point.
That's true. So then why was he left off this card? Why wasn't there another opponent that was offered to him to keep him on this?
His coach backed out.
Oh.
Yeah, his coach backed out. Joseph Williams, he messaged me very late, and I'm not going to question Joseph Williams' integrity. He doesn't back out of fights, and he's not afraid to face anybody. So when his coach says that he didn't think that it was a good fight for him to take and for his personal reasons, you just have to accept it. Yeah.
Absolutely. When a guy has been around the block as long as he has and done seemingly unremarkable things, you kind of got to take him at his word, essentially.
Right, exactly. And you know what, also, too, does Joseph Williams duck fights? No, he'll face anybody. He doesn't care. He'll wake up in the morning, you tell him he's got a fight, he'll face him. So I don't question his integrity at all for his camp's decision on backing out of the fight. You know, it's part of the game.
Harvey Cass of Epic Fighting here with the Ducrosse Brothers talking about Epic Fighting 30. That's going down Friday the 26th at the Four Point Sheraton. Two things that are going to happen at this event that everybody needs to know is the Lifetime Achievement Award for Carlos Vicente. And then you also have Chris Liebing that will be in the house that will be doing autographs for his new book that's coming out. Tell us a little bit about those two events that you're going to be having at that event.
Okay, well, Carlos Valente is going to be receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award. We've decided, or actually Jason decided, that every time we do a show, we're going to honor somebody in our local MMA community and present them with something just as a thanks to everything that they do in our local area. Chris Liebing was actually our commentator with Jeff Glover at Epic 28. Unfortunately, you know, he was on vacation for Epic 29, so we didn't have him. But he's back again, and Chris Liebing, with the excitement of his Bellator contract, his book, being a new coach at the arena, he's back in the mix, and in a big way. And we are very grateful that we have him as a high-level or high-profile MMA fighter for Epic Fighting.
Harvey Cass, Sean here. You talked about Chris Liebing and his Bellator contract kind of getting away from Epic, but I'll go right back because I got one other question for you about Epic still too. But you brought up Chris Liebing, so I want to touch on it. How did his move, do you happen to know why he moved from Alliance to
Victory?
From Victory to the arena?
No, I have no idea why he made that move. The only reason that he went into the arena was that after he came back from his vacation, he just needed a place to train. He was really out of shape. So he went hard at the arena, which, you know, the arena has the reputation for making gladiators. You don't go in there and hold pads for soccer moms, you know. He went in there to get into shape, and he went hard, and you know, things just happened. One thing led to another, and now he's part of the coaching team. He's he's back in shape. He's making a little noise, and Bellator, you know how they do. They'll snatch up anybody that they believe can bring in people, and he's one of them. You know?
Harvey, Sean here. You talked about Team Arena. One guy we seemingly have kind of lost sight on. and I think you probably have an idea where I'm going with this, is another beast in the San Diego area, and that is Alex Trinidad. When do we expect to see him back fighting?
Ask Coach Charles. Well, he's not going to be fighting amateur anymore. He's done. He's working on a pro thing right now. Just like Ryan Lilly, you know, they're in the process of figuring out what the right direction is. But I spoke with Coach Charles Martinez, and he said that after his last fight, that you know he's going to go pro. So, which pretty much just stay tuned for the Alex Trinidad news.
I guess San Diego has got one of their homeboys from the amateur ranks making it pro, so that's good to see. And then
it was eventually going to happen. You're going to see a lot of these guys making it one way or the other, you know.
My last question for you is: what have you learned from the first two shows that you've done this year?
Okay, that's a great question. The main thing that I learned was, and I think I've texted you this. I tried to book 25 potential matches that people agreed upon by February 1st, because I figured that by the time everybody, you know, fell out, I would have at least 10 to 15, and it worked out.
I guess that's a smart way to do it. Overbook and just watch them fade away, and then you got to pull the crop.
Right. It's because what happens is then as people do fall out, then I have, you know, I have extras. And then the extras sometimes can plug in and fill in, you know, the fallouts. When I did them before, I was struggling to make, you know, a good 15. And then when those 15 start falling off, you know, then you're dealt with like 8 or 9. You know what I mean?
Smart move, my man. Smart move.
Yeah. Also, in addition, I started expanding our geographic coverage, and I, you know, started reaching out to a lot more people in Los Angeles. Because you know that I had two things against me on this fight was the in-house fight for True Form, which meant that a lot of those people in that area are not going to be fighting, you know, for me. And then also, too, Victory has their fight at Park, so we don't have any Victory fighters on our card because, you know, they're preparing for their Park fight.
So way to get creative for Epic Fighting 30 and still put on what looks to be one of the best cards this year.
Yeah, thank you. I really put a lot of hard work into, you know, the matching. I wanted it to be fights that I wanted to see. You know, something that would intrigue me, and then I figured that if it followed what I'd like to see, well, then it would probably be a good fight. That's just my, you know, my thought process in this.
Well, it's a good thought process to have.
thanks, I appreciate it.
All right, well, everybody, that is Harvey Cass from Epic Fighting. Epic Fighting 30 is going down the 26th at the Four Point Sheraton in San Diego. If you have not got your tickets, listen to our show today. Because we have a giveaway. We're going to be giving away some tickets for Epic Fighting 30. So, yeah. Stay tuned with our social media on Facebook, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse. Our Twitter, at the Ducrosse Bros. Listen to this interview when we play it on our show. Because we're going to pick out something for the fans. So, stay tuned for that. Thank you, Harvey, for joining us.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Really appreciate it. See you on Friday.
So there you have it. Harvey Cass from Epic Fighting joins us and broke down Epic Fighting 30. And quite frankly, this card finally stacks up to where Epic Fighting was a year ago, not where it was the first two shows of this year. So Angel Ramirez was one of the fights that I'm personally looking forward to against David Boyko. Those two guys are two big boys looking to do nothing more than knock each other's heads off. Just as well as the Winston Morris fight. So, if you heard Angel Ramirez, hit us up on Sean and Tristan Ducrosse on our Facebook, either one, Sean Ducrosse or Tristan Ducrosse, or at the Ducrosse Bros, and let us know, did you hear it? Did you hear the name? All you do is got to hear the name. And then let us know when it aired. We'll go ahead and give away free tickets. So, there you have it, Harvey Cass, Tristan, what do you have to say about Epic 30?
Epic 30, remember, the gym of the girl and the guy, short notice. Don't forget, that'll win you tickets as well. But in the meantime, John, I'm more interested in the fact that we actually have four girls on this card. Erica Ochoveros, who was supposed to fight on the last Epic, wasn't exactly ready. Madison McLaney. I'm just happy that there's a – what I'm just going to go out on a limb here is that there's a native that's on this card in Catherine Proudfoot. So, go native.
Is that even a real native name, Proudfoot? Or are you just assuming because the last name is Proudfoot?
Proudfoot looks like a Native American name, so I'm going with it. Don't knock the man. I'm going with it. But also, one other name that is actually on this card, Sean, is Jefferson Carrington returns back to Epic where he last lost to Joseph Williams, where he lost in 56 seconds, Sean. He's coming back. So it's going to be nice to see if he's improved his game a little bit, being from Team Arena, having a new guy at there training him, which is Chris Leaving. So it's going to be interesting to see how far he's come along because he takes on Joey Bryan, who basically, to me, is just a confidence builder for Carrington, because Joey Bryan, last time we saw him was at our Archangel and
from Swift Kick MMA.
Yes. And he's 3-7.
Well, let's kick Swift Kick right over this to our last break as we have a returning gentleman joining us in CEO from Lion Fight Promotions, and Scott King joins your boys for a second time. We'll be right back.
Excelsior, Imperis Rex, live long and prosper, up, up, and away. Now that's my personal favorite. Fanboy Nation is go. Welcome to Fanboy Nation magazine, the home of all things fanboy and fangirl, not just the same stuff you can get anywhere else. Only at Fanboy Nation will we go beyond the generic questions of, so what's your favorite pencil? What kind of strings do you use? And how did it feel when you put on X costume? We give you insight into the lives of the artists, producers, the movers, the shakers, the indies, up-and-comers, the bigwigs, and most importantly, the little guys. If you haven't gotten yourself over to fanboynation.com, you need to do it today.
You are listening right now to the DuCross Brothers here on Blog Talk Radio. To check out more of the DuCross Brothers, head over to thehotspotshow.com.
Scott Kent from Lion Fight on with the boys, Sean and Tristan Ducross, a.k.a. the Sports Warriors. My man, you are going back to Foxwoods, and this card, hands down, we thought that you couldn't top the last one at Pechanga, and again, you get a name on here, Cedric Manoff, that's coming in on short notice to take on a champion. Are you for real with this card?
Yeah, this is, you know, it seems like we say this every time, but I can't wait for this as a fan, you know, just seeing the stacked card from the first fight. I mean, even the amateur fights are all matched very well, but to see this pro card the way it is, I think is, it's going to be probably our strongest card. I think the biggest question is which one's going to be fight of the night.
That was what I was wondering, Scott. Sean here, is that because Cedric Manoff versus Joe Nawat, seemingly right off the paper, fight of the night. But then you go down and you look at, you have Nick Chastain. That kid put on a show the last time.
And Chris Nassari, who's fighting him. I mean, this guy is a warrior. You look at the co-main event. Sergio, you know, is fighting Onion Topic. I mean, just right down the card. They're all matched so well. You know, it's something that I think we're known for is being able to put together great fights. And, you know, everybody talks about, you know, the different promotions and that. But I would put our cards up against anybody's out there because I think top to bottom, this is the strongest cards you're going to see in combat sports.
Scott Kent here with Tristan. Scott, something we keep talking about Lion Fight and about the growth of the company and how rapidly the fan is just taking to Muay Thai. You, my friend, have done something again to take your promotion up another level, and that was signing another new partnership with Warriors Way. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, the Hammer, huh? Mark out in Australia. You know, he's got the premier promotion out in Australia and New Zealand. And, you know, it's strange because on Access TV, we're only broadcast live in the U.S., but because a lot of people are getting these feeds, a lot of people are following us via social media, we have groups like the Muay Thai Grand Prix in England, and we've got Warriors Way in Australia and New Zealand that really want to be affiliated and ally themselves with Lion Fight because, you know, as things go in the U.S., it seems like, you know, everybody's attracted to that from a market standpoint, and Lion Fight has established itself as the, you know, premier Muay Thai promotion. So we have folks, and quite frankly, I'm doing interviews in Portugal, I mean, places all over the world, which really shows that, you know, the Lion Fight brand has really established itself and has really become a worldwide recognized brand at this point.
Scott Kent, Sean here. You talk about Warriors Way and blending everything. What can we expect from Lion Fight, Warriors Way, and the MTGP that's going in on in England? What can we expect from all those three blends?
Well, I think what you're going to see is a lot of sharing of fighters. We have a Victor Saravia, one of our premier talents in the United States. He's going to fight Daniel McGowan on the next show in March for the Muay Thai Grand Prix. And remember, Daniel McGowan's the guy that fought Romy Adanza, was pretty much dictating the fight. And then Romy caught him with an elbow and split his lip, and they actually stopped the fight. Victor's hungry. He's going to be a great representation for the United States. I think that, you know, it's going to establish a more of a rivalry with the fighters in different countries, and yet there's kind of a partnership going on. Same thing in April with Warriors Way in Australia. They're going to have a four-man tournament, and the winner of the four-man tournament is going to be able to fight on a future Lion Fight card. So it's great publicity for us. It's great marketing. You know, the social media aspect of it has been huge. And, you know, it gives these fighters from other countries an opportunity to fight in the U.S. for Lion Fight.
Scott Kent, I think a lot of people are going to end up asking you this question at some point down the road. Will we see some type of tournament in Lion Fight, kind of like the Grand Prix, that's going to happen in England? Are we going to see maybe a contest happen in Lion Fight that maybe gets you to a Grand Prix type of finale?
You know, it's possible. I've always kind of been opposed to doing the tournaments just because in Muay Thai, the likelihood of getting injured is so high and you end up using a lot of alternate fighters. It's something that, you know, I would never say that we would never do it. I think the format that we've got right now and having the fighters focused on their opponents has been very successful. But I think it's something that we're looking at a lot of these jurisdictions outside of the U.S. and as well as amateurs. We worked with another amateur, a lot of amateur promotions where, you know, they will have the winner of their tournament qualify to fight on you know, to maybe do their professional debut on a Lion Fight show. So there's a lot of ways that we can work this and try and establish who the best talent is out there. I think we've shown that we've got the best young strikers in the United States all signed to Lion Fight contracts, and we're looking at doing that with international fighters as well.
Scott Kent here from Lion Fight Promotions on with the Sports Warriors, Sean and Tristan. Sean here, talking about the future, talking about the wave. How do you go out and search for talent? Is that something that you invest a lot of time and effort in? Or is there certain things that you look behind the scenes and do you scour social media?
Well, we get a lot of requests from social media. You know, every day we get requests from fighters and gyms. And, you know, what we do is essentially have the gym send us video of their fighters, their records. And Christine Toledo and myself will go through that list of fighters. You know, there are certain gyms that we've got a good relationship with that we know if we're bringing in an international fighter that you don't have to worry about paperwork, visa, travels, that everybody's going to be on time. And I think that's one of the risks when you have a lot of international fighters is that there's a lot of things that can go wrong and logistical issues that need to be addressed before you do that. We've had fighters that say they've got their paperwork and then come to find out they don't, and we're scrambling at the last minute. So developing relationships with good gyms that have good fan support, You know, I think that's a very important part of what we're doing in trying to establish fighters, you know, that come from these good gyms. And we know we're going to put on a good show.
Scott, talking about figuring out logistics to getting fighters, there's one guy that popped up this morning that I knew I had to write down on my sheet to ask you. Is that there? And hopefully you've heard of the guy. So if I butcher his name, you can kind of correct me on it. But there was a guy that popped up online, Muay Thai fighter named Sinachi, I believe is his name is.
Yeah, I believe he fought recently. If it's the guy I'm thinking of.
Yeah, they call him the living legend and the trickster of kicks.
Yeah. No, I'm actually aware of him. I don't know a lot about him. I know that's a name that's come up and something that Christine and I have looked at, you know, about possibly, you know, getting somebody on a show. I think the other thing that we look at when we're booking fighters is, you know, the type of fighter that they are. Is this an aggressive fighter? Is this somebody that's going to, you know, the fans are really going to gravitate to? As opposed to sometimes you can book a fighter who's a very good fighter, but very technical, very defensive, and sometimes that's not conducive to a real exciting fight. So we want to make sure that we grab those fighters that are going to give our fans a show. When they walk out of the arena, they're like, wow, I've never seen anything like that before. And we've been very lucky in the past to do that, and that's certainly where we're going to focus our attention in the future.
The Sports Warriors here with Scott Kane of Lion Fight Promotions. Scott Kane, I'm going to go back to Lion Fight 28 because I really want to talk about Cedric Manoff, the nephew of Melvin Manoff. You got this guy on 2 weeks' notice coming off one heck of a fight that he already had. What prompted you to go after Cedric Manoff to take on the super welterweight champion in Joe? Because this could be probably the fight of the night.
Well, we went back and looked at a lot of his videos, you know, and like I just said, you know, he's somebody that's very exciting. He's on a tear, a winning streak. He's like 50-2. He's got an amazing record. And I think it showcases some of the distinct differences between the Dutch Muay Thai style, the Dutch kickboxing traditional style, as opposed to the pure Muay Thai, which is what Joe Nuttallat is. You know, that's the nice thing about being with Lion Fight is that if we call these guys on, you know, 2 weeks' notice, you know, they want to jump on the plane that day and come fight for us. So I think it was an opportunity, but we always, when we're looking at these fights, we always have a backup because you never know. Like I said, if somebody doesn't get their paperwork in, if somebody gets injured during training. So this worked out very well for us. You know, we're thrilled to have Cedric fighting. You know, he comes from a great gym in Holland. You know, everyone knows his uncle, and the guy's a beast. And I think what Joe Nuttallat has shown us in the past that, you know, whether it's Cosmo Alexander, Charlie Peters, whoever we put in front of him, he's going to chop him down. So it's going to be a great fight.
Scott Kim, what is the biggest difference between Dutch-style Muay Thai and Muay Thai the traditional?
Well, I think there's more emphasis on clinching with the Thai style. Dutch kickboxing, obviously, you know, the technical differences between kickboxing are that you can't use your elbows. And there's more emphasis on you know, controlling the distance with the kicks. I think what we've seen with the growth of Lion Fight is trying to, when you're competing against groups that are kickboxing groups, it's extremely important that we educate the fans and say, listen, you know, here's the difference. A lot of people call it Muay Thai kickboxing, or they kind of throw it into the same, you know, into the same drawer. And we try and really espouse the differences because we think they're really important. The fact that Muay Thai fighters can use their elbows, the fact that they can fight in a clinch, I think those are salient differences when you're looking at a stand-up fighting product. You know, even in MMA, can you imagine MMA now without elbows? You know, and I try and use that analogy when I'm describing kickboxing and Muay Thai. Look at how many of our fights where the fights have changed because of an elbow. You look at how the UFC has really taken advantage of a lot of the traditional Muay Thai techniques, especially the elbows. I mean, how many fights are changed because of cuts to the forehead or, You know, we our last fight, you know, a spinning back elbow, and you know, that's what happened with Julio Pena. He was out of the fight, spinning back elbow, and broke his opponent's, you know, orbital socket. You know, same thing with Romeo Danza and Daniel McGowan, which we talked about. He was getting destroyed. And then, you know, it was that elbow that changed everything. So you're talking about two totally different sports. So I think that's really the biggest difference.
Scott Kent, Lion Fight Promotions here with the Sports Warriors. There's another fight that's on here on your card that I want to talk about. It's Kai Hollenbeck versus the Purple People Eater, which is one of my favorite names growing up as a kid. And last time we saw Kai was that he lost a fight due to a headbutt. And last time we saw the Purple People Eater, he was claiming the WBC international title. So you now have two of these strong force fighters coming into a battle that ultimately, you're looking at this card, and I don't think this one's going to go past the second round.
Yeah, I think you could arguably make this a main event fight. Kai Hollenbeck is one of the rising superstars. You know, he had a venture into kickboxing. He's back committed to Muay Thai. He fought Richard Abraham on a war on one of our earlier cards. I think Kai is one of those handful of guys that's really going to excel in Lion Fight over the next couple of years. Justin Grekowitz is, you know, an East Coast fighter. There's always been a little tension East Coast, West Coast. But, you know, as far as who has the better fighters, you know, I think this is one of those fights that's probably going to come down to an elbow or something very dramatic in the ending. This could be this goes to what I was saying earlier. There's, you know, six fights. There's six potential fight of the nights, very realistically.
Scott Canchon here. Yeah, you could just basically it's covering your eyes, spinning around, and just put your finger on a paper and just say, yeah, that has a chance.
Well, that's what we're hoping for. You know, I've talked to a lot of the fighters personally, and, you know, they're so excited. The fact that it's on TV, you know, really changes things for not only for the fighters themselves, but for the, you know, for their fans, the ones that can't make it to the event. You know, when you know somebody or you're familiar with them and you see them fight consistently in Lion Fight, you know, oh, that's the guy, you know, with the spinning back elbow, or, you know, this is the guy that threw that knee that knocked out this guy. I think that from a planning standpoint, that it's extremely important that we keep guys current, you know, whether it's Gaston, whether it's Saravia, you know, Kai Hollenbeck, we want to get him to fight four times this year, Onion Topic, so that when our fans come on television, they're going to know these guys because they've seen them fight before. Matching them up with quality opponents.
Scott, you just mentioned one gentleman, Gaston, who you just signed to a new contract as well.
Yeah, I think he's, by all intents and purposes, you know, one of those two or three guys that we think is going to be the next big thing in Muay Thai. He fought a controversial decision, which was he wasn't given the decision. I think the IKF came back and changed, you know, the decision. They went through an independent review process. You know, Gaston fought, Cornpet, who's had over 100 fights, so a very well-respected Thai fighter, and by most accounts won the fight. And he's only fought, I think, 6-7 times. So that tells you how far he's come in his progression. The guy is extremely likable, very humble. He's perfect ambassador for this sport. And some guy I think it's got a really bright future in Muay Thai.
Scott Kim from Lion Fight Promotions here with the Sports Warriors. Now, after this fight card that's coming up, you also return to Pechanga May 6th. Do you have any idea what to expect on that card? Have you already laid the groundwork for that card?
Yeah, we've got a number of fights that we're talking about right now. We're probably going to do a press release next week and announce the full card. We've got some interesting surprises coming up, and I think the fans in Southern California are going to be really excited about that card as well.
Interesting surprises. I think that in itself is an interesting comment.
Well, that's my job, isn't it, to make this interesting and people want to see more. And you know you're going to see great fights. You know, what you don't know is who we're going to pull out and who we're going to sneak onto this card. And I think you're going to see some familiar faces and you're going to see some new faces.
I like that. Scott Kent with Lion Fight Promotions, once again, thank you for joining the Sports Warriors, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.
Thanks, you guys. I appreciate it and all the support from the Sports Warriors. You guys have been great to us. And
again, looking forward to the fights going down at Foxwoods this weekend. And then stay tuned for Lion Fight returning to Pechanga May 6th.
Sprawl and brawl, ground and pound. Get ready for an MMA showdown. Now, the Ultimate Octagon Insider, Sean and Tristan Ducrosse.